The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Looking for answers that will accelerate and advance your online store or website? You have made it to the Merchant Help Desk, presented by AscenderCart.com. Our hosts and expert guests will break down ways to succeed in your online marketing operation. Get your questions answered on subjects like SEO for e-commerce, legal issues, PCI compliance, and more. The Merchant Help Desk is now open for your questions. Please welcome your host, a pillar of wisdom in the area of website accessibility, design, and web content, Lee Roberts.
Hey, good morning to everyone. Good afternoon to those on the East Coast. You're here with Lee Roberts. Today, we're going to be reviewing a book called The Entrepreneur's Path, a handbook for high growth companies. Later on, I'll have that as a download on our website at AscenderCart.com. That is AscenderCart.com. Interviewing Kenneth Noel from I2E and talking about the book with Kenneth and how I2E operates as a business accelerator with companies in Oklahoma. And Kenneth, I want to say welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to start off with the book here. And as everyone knows that's starting the business, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Will Rogers is famous for that, and he's an Oklahoman. And we kind of, here in Oklahoma, we kind of hold that proud. And when I work with people using our e-commerce software, we kind of try to help people get on the right path and keep from becoming stagnant. If they become stagnant, of course, they're not going to make the money that they want. And a lot of times when they do become stagnant, then they leave. So what we do is we provide them kind of a guide path that can help them run their business more smoothly and increase their profit and revenue structures. One of the things that we provide is a guide that helps them with search engine optimization, and as well as a launch my website set of instructions that gets them on the path to getting more quickly indexed by the search engines and keeping those search engines coming back on a more increasingly basis versus on a decreasingly basis. When one starts building a business, one must also consider the risk and the exit of the business. And of course, the risk is if you're just starting out, you're at a the proof of concept stage, because we really haven't built anything yet. If we have the website and we have some business coming in and products on the site, then we become moving into the seed stage. And while one may think that, oh, I just want to operate out of my garage or small office and not get involved with anyone else, you need to consider what you're going to do 5-10 years down the road. Are you going to be selling your business? Are you going to pass it on to your children? How are you going to pass that on? Would it be through a trust? Would it be through just giving it to them or some other way? And we have to think about each step that we're going to take and how it's going to get us to where we want to go. Now, typically with small businesses, you're not in the position when you have a domain, you're not in the position of being able to sell your business to, say, a competitor like Amazon or Overstock or Walmart, because they just have no interest in that type of business. However, you can sell it to another small business owner through sites. There are several sites out there. I believe one is called flipit.com or something of that nature. And those are very important that you keep your eye on and consider them as exits for your business. And it's time for us to take a commercial break, and we want to hear from our sponsors. So we'll be right back with Kenneth Knoll from I2E and take us into some more information.
We will return with more of the Merchant Help Desk after this.
2, 1, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
We're rocking the world with LinkedIn.
Hey, it's Mike O'Neill and Lori Rupp, the LinkedIn rock stars. We are ready to rock your world with LinkedIn.
Join your fearless leaders, Mike and Lori, as they reveal insider secrets.
Because I know the secrets, don't I, Mike?
Chat with other LinkedIn gurus.
We have great guests on our show, and today is no exception at all.
And answer your LinkedIn questions.
All caps, Mountain Dew, comma space, all little letters, sleep.
Rock the world with LinkedIn, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to the Merchant Help Desk, presented by AscenderCart.com. Once again, here's Lee Roberts.
Hi, and welcome back. We're here with Kenneth Knoll from I2E in Oklahoma City. And we're going to be talking about the book entitled The Entrepreneur's Path, a handbook for high-growth companies. And at this point, I'm going to ask Kenneth to give us a rundown on his history here with I2E, and then we'll proceed further.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lee. So I've started with I2E originally back in 2006. I was part of one of the entrepreneurial development programs they host here, which is the Donald W. Reynolds Governor's Cup. And that was in 2006. Essentially business plan development competition. Did really well through that program. Got to know a lot about I2E. Always kind of had that entrepreneurial focus and wanted to get involved in that community. And then after that, I went to work for an oil and gas company for several years.
Which one?
And it was actually ConocoPhillips.
Okay.
Yeah, so spent 3 years there and came back to I2E, and I now manage the Proof of Concept Fund which is an early stage, as you mentioned, you know, proof of concept, that early first stage that companies are in. We provide those early investments to kind of move them along in the development path.
Okay. And since we're talking about finances here, can you explain for our audience here the difference between an angel investor and a venture capital investor?
Certainly can. So your venture capital investors, they're more often than not institutional. So they have partners that essentially manage this fund. And it can have institutional investors or extremely wealthy individuals that decide and make these investments. They are later stage, most typically. So it's going to be for companies that are already in the market. They've got a fairly good foothold with product sales, et cetera, whatever it may be, before they would consider an investment. And they're typically larger. Most venture capital funds won't fund anything that requires less than several million dollars. Whereas an angel investor, they are they can be individuals or they can invest together, but they're independently wealthy individuals. It's actually a qualified investor status per the SEC on total net worth. An individual has to be to qualify as an angel. One of those metrics is a net worth of at least $1 million, excluding personal home, etc. And you'll find that the angel investors almost have some altruistic motivations in the investments as opposed to VCs. VCs are almost 100%, well, not almost, 100% in it for the money. You'll find with angels, though, they typically try to invest in an industry they're familiar with or passionate about. And a lot of them have made their money as being a previously, as previously been an entrepreneur. And it's kind of see it as a way to give back and keep involved with that entrepreneurial community. And then on the amount side, you'll see that those range from as small as, you know, $10,000 up to a couple hundred thousand dollars. There is a new kind of angel investment form kind of coming about, referred to as super angels, which kind of blurs that line between angel and VC, because there's kind of a funding gap in there. When you're going from an angel stage to a venture capital stage, when you need that $1 million to $2 million, you're too little for a VC, you're too much for an angel. So it's a big challenge there for a company that's trying to get out and grow and take more market share. So super angels, extremely wealthy individuals, have kind of created this new segment and are making investments in some of these companies.
Well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the people that I deal with are mom and pops that want to open a small business, say an online store, and we know that we can go through, obviously, the bank, our friends and relatives. Do angel investors get into online store businesses? Because they can become very lucrative.
Of course, yeah. And again, it's really going to be angel dependent. It's finding those angels that, you know, are comfortable with that space or have previous experience in the space. And the other piece of that is, you know, when you take on that early investment and you're looking for angels, it's really important to put some thought into how that's structured and how you bring those individuals, friends, family, et cetera, on as investors. Some of the details within, you know, the kind of rights and claims those investors have on your company can really affect whether or not an angel would be attracted to that business. And that's a lot of what we do here at I2E. We've got a lot of advisory services on the capital side that help guide entrepreneurs in the best way to take on that early investment to ensure they don't hit a roadblock later down the road.
Okay. And if we consider, if we look into exit plans, what do you see as the best exit plan, let's say, for a startup online store that's selling various products, say, they're drop shipping? Are you familiar with drop shipping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm familiar with the term.
Okay. What kind of exit plan would you kind of see for them?
Well, I guess it would be highly dependent on the sector the products are in, what they're dealing with. Most likely, you're not going to see any kind of a an IPO at this stage with those type of companies. I think we've kind of seen the majority of that happen. And a lot of the drop shipping that's going on now is taking advantage of some of the platforms early companies such as Amazon, et cetera, have created to make that process so much easier.
Right.
So typically, I think that would become more of something that stays in the family, perhaps, or is grown and transitioned from not necessarily the entrepreneur selling the company, but bringing in somebody else to fill their space so they can move on to other things.
Okay. And one of the things that I've noticed about small businesses is they're not sure if they should have a board of directors or a board of advisors or anything of that nature. And I recommend that people have at least a board of advisors that understand advertising, understand marketing, understand some financial bits. What's your view on this?
I think that's great advice. And it's actually a area that's kind of getting some attention as of late because it's become a bit more challenging to fill that formal board role due to the legal obligations and liability a board member would have for a company. So board of advisors are a little more common now for those early stage companies with individuals that just don't want to take on the liability risk as a board of director, but can still act as an advisory as an advisor and in that capacity. Now, it really depends, again, like kind of as you said, depending on the stage as to what you need. But if you're in the early stages, a couple advisors kind of relative to the space you're in will suffice. As you grow to, say, a seed stage company, it's advisable to start that formal board selection and actually establish those positions. And typically 4 to 5 members is a good number for a board in that early stage.
Okay. And the legal issues that you were talking about, that's the SEC is called what? Sharsky thing? Do you know what I'm talking about? Remember?
I'm not familiar with the term you're referencing.
Well, there's that you have to be, it costs millions of dollars to get it done and have your
Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yes.
Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yes.
So that it's certainly a challenge for small companies. It's easier to do early on than to become compliant later.
Right.
So when you mentioned needing to decide early on what is your exit strategy, this is one of those key components that weighs on, because if you determine your best exit is going to be an IPO, you must be Sarbanes-Oxley compliant before you can do that. And if you have internal controls and policies that are not compliant with Sarbanes-Oxley, you have to transition your entire business process to conform with Sarbanes-Oxley policies.
Policies, yeah. Well, we're going to take a break here with Kenneth and hear what our sponsors have to say, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
We will return with more of the Merchant Help Desk after this.
2, 1, boost to ignition.
Ascend into new heights of ranking and revenue with a search engine friendly online shopping cart that's ready for liftoff. Introducing Ascender Cart. Ascender Cart optimizes your shopping cart with easy-to-use SEO tools that will help build keywords, titles, and tags for top search engine rankings. Get all of the advantages of having a shopping cart on your site and monitor your progress with regular reports in just a click. Prepare to launch your shopping cart to the top of the search engines with Ascender Cart. Learn more about what Ascender Cart can do for you at AscenderCart.com. AscenderCart.com.
As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their performance to the next level.
It's a language.
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search, social, display, one platform.
I've been blogging with Huffington Post since 2006.
Bennett Kelly.
Sale of Huffington Post to AOL. As you may know, all the bloggers on Huffington Post are unpaid.
The Cyber Law and Business Report.
In reaction to the sales of AOL, the Writers Guild is encouraging bloggers not to write for Huffington Post in response.
Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
So you're seeing some fallout and some kind of just discomfort in the blogosphere for the fact that they were giving all this value to Huffington and not getting anything in return in their view.
Or on demand anytime inside the Culture and Business Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to the Merchant Help Desk, presented by AscenderCart.com. Once again, here's Lee Roberts.
Hi, and welcome back to the Merchant Help Desk. And we have Kenneth Noel from I2E here in Oklahoma City with us. And Kenneth, a lot of our audience doesn't live in Oklahoma, so they won't be able to work with I2E.
Okay.
Where might they find some information about angel investors and maybe some organizations that exist in their states similar to I2E?
Right. So there's actually some national organizations that have directories for local groups that can be contacted. So that's a great resource. One of the big new ones coming online is Startup America. So it's a big drive from our federal government to create this network that links entrepreneurs with institutions in the area, such as I2E, and also investment capital within their region. So I would highly recommend that they visit that site. It's kind of a new and up-and-coming deal. It's been spun up in just the last few months. So do visit startupamerica.com. That will have some great resources there. On the funding side, specifically for early stage companies, so angel capital, there are a couple organizations out there. From an advisory standpoint, the Kauffman Foundation has a lot of resources on what you should think about, things to consider, etc. And a lot of it's available on their website, so mm-hmm. kind of at your disposal when you want to find out about it. And then there's also the Angel Capital Education Foundation, which is a subsidiary of the Angel Capital Association. So the Angel Capital Association is a national network of It's an association of angels within the U.S. And there are angels all across. I forget the exact number of states, but it's almost all 50 mm-hmm. have members of the ACA that are angels in their given states. So that's it's a great network as well. It can really connect you up with where that capital exists in your state.
Okay. And there's another one, I believe, is called Angel. .co?
Angel.co.
That one's not in the book.
Is it not? Yeah, I'm not familiar specifically with that one. .co, what is?
It's just another, like, startup.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with that one, but there are a lot of resources out there.
Yep, and we as business owners owe it to ourselves to help improve our conditions and to improve our chance of success. So in our last show, we talked about business incubators, and today we're talking about the handbook here from I2E. And I2E is a business accelerator, and there are many business accelerators out there that you can get your hands on and get some help from, and we highly recommend that you do that. Now, just touching on the Ascender cart, shopping cart here, just real quick, besides what I mentioned previously, one of the things we have set up here is we have our own integrated blog software. We have integrated web analytics that provide you a different perspective from what the other companies provide you. And you'd be very surprised at the information that is available once you start looking from this different perspective. Consider for a moment the aspect of pay-per-click and ask yourself, are people creatures of habit, or do they spend time trying to create new habits? By creating new habits, I mean that the belief that people are going to bookmark your site and come back to it through that bookmark versus coming back to your site through pay-per-click is an incorrect belief. And Clear Sailing has in their system the capability of looking at decision funnels. So that is something that we should all consider, is what happens in the decision funnel for someone that's making a purchase. Give me a call sometime, and I'd be more than happy to talk about your views and my views and see if we can maybe jointly write an article about decision funnels. And you can reach me at www.ascendercart.com, ASCENDERCART.com. I want to thank you for your patronage today, and thank our guest here, Kenneth Knoll from I2E, and all the folks there at Webmaster Radio and our sponsors. Talk to you next month. Have a great month.